The Starting Lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Change my attempt, good intentions.
I welcome you back for the third and final hour of The Starting Lineup. 99.1, you're listening to The Sports Animal. Rumors are true, and you've probably read or heard about them yourself this morning as you're on your way to work. A rainy Monday morning on Rocky Top. There is growing concern among college athletics officials that the upcoming football season and other fall sports can't be played because of the continuing pandemic that's happening across the world. Tyler Ivins and Will West, 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Will, the commissioners of the Power Five conferences, they held an emergency meeting, which is never good if you're holding emergency meetings on weekends. No major decision was made last night, but multiple sources and several of the Power Five conferences have told ESPN that commissioners are talking about trying to collaborate with respective presidents to decide on canceling or postponing fall sports. You don't want a situation to occur like we got out of the Big Ten. They announced they were going only conference play weeks ago, which then led everybody else to follow in line. My understanding, Will, and maybe this is just me on my own on this island, I have a feeling the reason why that we're hearing in the next 72 hours we could have a result is because after the ACC meets later today and the Pac-12 meets later on Tuesday, I think you're going to start getting your ducks in a row, each one of these Power 5 conferences, so they can unanimously come out together and announce that they're pulling the plug on college football altogether.
So I, from what I'm told, I think that was the Big Ten took so much criticism for it leaking out and then them going ahead and announcing it without allowing the rest of the other conferences to get on board and having a unified statement that their intention last night was to try to get everybody on board. Look, we're canceling. This is your look at it. If you want to jump on board with us and we can move as one large group, not everybody's there from what I think that the SEC and probably the ACC aren't there with them. From what SI and Ross Dellinger have reported, looks like Bob Bowlesby is kind of looking at the ESPN side of things as well, or the Big Ten side of things as well. A lot of it because of new information that they found out as far as young people having heart issues, maybe even long-term heart issues, even if they're asymptomatic if they test positive for COVID. That has kind of swayed Bowlesby's decision. We'll see what happens. I do think, the reports were in the next 72 hours, and that is as of last night, that the college football season will be announced that it's postponed. Yet AL.com, and I think the first to mention it was Auburn's 24/7 site, that the SEC's not ready to go there yet. They've got more time than the rest of the conferences because of when they start the season. So what we're looking at right now is who goes with the Big Ten? It's Jerry Maguire, Tom. Who's coming with me? The Big Ten's probably gone. And from what Yahoo Sports has reported, the Big Ten commissioner told schools, we're not ready to make a decision yet, but keep practices light tomorrow. That's where we're at. The Big Ten's probably gone. The Pac-12 squad probably coming with them. The belief is the Big 12's going with them as well. And if all three conferences go, everybody's going to have to shut it down, because you're not going to not have a college football playoff this year with all the money that ESPN pays for that.
So you bring up a good point right there. Do you believe majority rules here? Do you believe that if three of the five Power Five, everybody else has to follow, but let's say the Big Ten and Pac-12 just decide no, do you believe that we could have a college football season with just the ACC, Big 12, and the SEC? Of course, I'm just spitballing on the conferences, but do you believe majority rules here? So for the fan out there who's listening to us going, well, let the other four go, the SEC can stand alone by themselves.
No, I mean, the SEC can't because, again, college football playoff money.
Right.
You want to make that money. So it's just it's millions upon millions of dollars, and you're already losing revenue from not having fans. Plus, there's the scenario that's on the table that fans could be in the stadiums next fall, and that's $4 to $6 million per home game for Tennessee if you can have fans inside the stadium next spring. So if that is the case, I just think maybe not even majority rules. If two of the five go, it's going to be hard to believe that this is going to happen. I think the toothpaste is out of the tube, and we're seeing if it can be pushed back in the tube right now. It's not 100% off the table that there's a college football this fall, but it's 99% off the table that there's going to be a college football season this fall. Can player empowerment push, get them, convince them that we want to play movement on social media? Can that sway athletics directors, presidents, lawyers into saying, okay, these concerns we have about liability, we're going to let the players make this call? I would argue maybe even the player the we want to play movement is gone the other way, because they're demanding that everything's uniform as far as testing and protocols across all the NCAA, which you're probably not going to get in place in 3 weeks. And they're demanding that a players association be formed, which nobody's going to sign off on in the college athletics right now. Should they get one? Yes. Are they going to get one right now? No. So, and they'll kick the can down the road till spring before they give them a union right now. So this is kind of where we're at, is a little bit of a stalemate with the players and the conferences. You have the presidents and the lawyers are going to be the ones that make the decisions on this, not the athletics directors and the coaches. And it looks very, 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 very bleak, the idea of having a college football season during the fall. And so I don't know how it happens. I will say again, I think that from what I'm told, one of the concerns is everybody's in a bubble right now, and you've still seen some issues. And that one of the big fears is nobody wants to be that school or that conference where a player, God forbid, dies. And that is the concern right now, considering we have a Clemson defensive end whose season's already done. You have the player at Indiana whose career's probably over, and as of Friday at least, was on a ventilator and clinging to life, and both of them got COVID from inside the locker room. So and no, that's already been the case, and that's while they're in a bubble. What's this going to look like when students are on campus? Greg Sankey makes a good point. The SEC makes a good point of, well, we've got 3 or 4 weeks to make a decision. Let's see what it looks like when students get on campus. And so let's take 2 weeks and see what this looks like, or 3 weeks and see what this looks like. We'll just roll forward with the protocols that we have in place. I see their point. I just, once the Big Ten goes, that the Pac-12 goes with them, I have a hard time believing that they're still going to play college football this fall.
Question for the other side as we hit the reset at 8:09. We were told months ago that you can't have football in the stadium unless there are students and faculty back on campus and in the classrooms and in the auditoriums at the University of Tennessee. If there's not going to be college football this year, Will, freshmen are moving into the dorms this week. What does that mean for the school schedule, and what does it mean for actual in-person, in-class schools this year? And not only that, but I'm sure there are a lot of high school coaches and sure a lot of high school parents that are wondering what their kids, grandchildren, et cetera, are going to do with their upcoming fall. There are a lot of questions outside of just will there be football played on the college level, not across the country, but also here in particular here on Rocky Top. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. A lot of questions that need answers. We'll talk about them coming up on the other side. What would you do? Put yourself in the shoes for a lot of the people like Randy Boyd, if you're an athletics director, like Philip Fulmer, different presidents out there who are having to make these decisions. Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, who ultimately will decide for the conference whether or not college football will be played this year. Tyler and Will, Aaron Kane's got our next Tennessee Lottery Sports Update on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
ESPN is reporting Power 5 commissioners held an emergency meeting Sunday afternoon to discuss college football this fall as concerns continue to mount on the possibility of a season being canceled or postponed due to coronavirus. ESPN reports the Big Ten presidents are ready to essentially pull the plug on a season in which other Power 5 conferences may follow suit. Meanwhile, many prominent college football players, such as Clemson's Trevor Lawrence, have taken to social media to express their desire to play this year. The players signed each tweet with the hashtag, #WeWantToPlay. Colin Morikawa shot a 6-under, a 64 par in round 4 of the PGA Championship to win his first major championship at 13-under on the tournament. Paul Casey, Dustin Johnson finished 2 strokes behind the leader in second place. Bryson DeChambeau, Tony Finau all finished in a 5-way tie for third at 10-under on the weekend. And Kevin Harvick completed the doubleheader sweep at Michigan, leading a race-high 90 laps to take on the checkered flag Sunday afternoon. Denny Hamlin earned the silver, Martin Truex Jr. the bronze, while Kyle Busch, Joey Logano rounded out the top five. One more thing of note, Ronald Acuna Jr. homered 3 times on the day as the Braves swept a doubleheader in Philadelphia, winning 5-2 and 8-0 at Citizens Bank Park. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion for education in Tennessee. It's 8:12. We'll check in the roadways, the interstates, with Pete Michaels. Traffic. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
As a kid, his favorite bedtime story was the October 1967 edition of Sports Illustrated.
Tyler Ivins in the starting lineup
on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
We'll be right back. Tyler Ivins on Twitter, at Will West WNML. The show account, that's an easy find as well, at TSL991. Thank you so much for making your Monday, August 10th programming and plans around us. Also at 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Will, students, freshmen move into the dorms coming up this week. I don't see how it's possible that you can expect an entire semester of schooling to go on without there being an outbreak, whether it occurs with students coming in from out of state, new students to the University of Tennessee, outbreaks in dorms where they're having to be quarantined. And I don't see how you don't run into a situation where, however long it is, a point in time in the fall semester where you have to go back to essentially virtual schooling. If the big concern is what happens to athletes on the football field, you also then have to start thinking about the classrooms and the kids that you have on campus, the professors and the teachers that you have on campus, and you have to ask yourself, it's not if, it's when does it occur, and when do you start seeing maybe parents start demanding tuition rates, and there's so many other things in how this branches out. Similar to a situation we had weeks ago when Harvard wasn't lowering their Ivy League tuition costs. It's not, again, it's not if, it's when. And what do you do if you are Randy Boyd or some of the higher-ups at the university? No football. Now you got to start asking yourself about the health and really start asking about the care of what happens with your students. Because remember, we're still talking about students first before we're talking about athletes.
Yeah, I don't know what you do there. I mean, honestly,
I'm with you.
It is hard to see a scenario clear where there's not an outbreak in Knox County schools and University of Tennessee, at Pellissippi, at all. It's going to be hard to see that happen. So I don't know the pathway through this because, I mean, you're right, there is going to be an outbreak. It's far more likely than not that happens. And so what do you do from there? And especially to your point with athletes, if we're already seeing somewhat among athletes inside of a bubble without students on campus, how do you do it with people who you're saying pay us money, come live here, and then you have an outbreak, and you're not testing them repeatedly like you are current SEC athletes? I don't know what that scenario necessarily looks like, but there will be an outbreak, and then let's see how people handle it from there.
What would you do if it's high school football? And maybe we don't have answers just like the previous question about what do you do with Knox County schools, surrounding county schools, or the University of Tennessee, or any other college campus. If you're right now a high school athlete, I mean, Powell was just supposed to open things up. You know, Greenville ends up shutting things down. They're having to find a replacement opponent. That's just one of the many stories about the high school football season that we've had over the last couple of weeks and leading into the season. You know, Will, if you're high school football and you've been going step-by-step with the SEC or step-by-step with your respective D1 Power 5 program on the same city or in the same vicinity, you can't imagine that high school football is going to be able to go on if there's no SEC football, right? I mean, should we go ahead and just assume now if there's no football on Saturdays, there's probably not going to be any football on Fridays too, right?
Yeah, I honestly don't know because I would not have thought in a million years Bill Lee would have signed that executive order. Not that he wouldn't have signed it, but signed it based on what the TSSAA said are their protocols.
Right.
Because especially, like, I mean, he even is saying it's unsafe for them to play whether other leagues, but under TSSAA, you can go play, and it's not like they said they're going to do anything, right? So that was shocking to me. So I don't know. Look, if it were me, I'd put – you got to go in the same way that you got to go get vaccinations before you can go to school or do a test. I would say you got to or play football – I would say that you got to go get tested first. And I would say from there, we'll implement what we have now. If a school is caught burying anything at all, or players are caught burying anything at all, parents, look, we had a case recently in Knox County where a kid tested positive and the parents sent him to practice anyway, and it made other kids sick and they had to shut down a team.
Right.
So it's a buddy of mine that it happened with his kids. I would look at it and say, that kid's done for – he doesn't play high school football again, or at least for a year, and that program is shut down for the year. You have to make it scary enough for people who don't want to do it. But I would make them do at least two tests a year, if not three tests a year, probably two and then one before a playoff happens. It's not as hard as you think it is to go get tested. You get a wait line, it's a pain in the butt, but it's not that hard, and you can go do it. It's free at the health department. That's how I would handle this, and I would go forward with it. unfortunately, I'm not the one making these decisions. So I would do the same thing with the I would do what the SEC's talking about doing. I would look at it and say, I got till September 26th. I'm not making a decision till the end of August. Let's see if something goes right between now and the end of August. But again, I'm not the one making these decisions. So I will say this, it doesn't seem like it probably can work, but it doesn't mean there's not a pathway forward if you get more aggressive with what your protocols are. Now, the question is going to be, are they going to get more aggressive? They'll also have the NFL to point to and say, the NFL's playing, we should be able to play. That's part of it as well. But again, I'm not the one making these decisions.
Right.
And you could end up being right at the end of the
day. I'll say high school football has a little bit more flexibility than, say, a college football program, meaning the SEC is going to act as one conference. The SEC will act as the SEC will,
sure.
And it could differ from the Big 12, Big 10, whatever it may be. You know, under Governor Bill Lee's blessing and the executive order that's lifted and all that, you know, high school football, county to county, can pretty much do what they say. Now, Knox County will act as Knox County will. You know, Jefferson County, Hamlin County, Sevier County will do that as well. Now, you can see potentially Knox County playing football, whereas Cock County is not. You know, Greenville, again, shut down for 2 weeks. That's impacting a Knox County school. And so you could very well, and this is something Mark Packer's been talking about all summer long with the TSSAA, you can see high school football in different parts of the state potentially playing while other parts are shut down. And so high school football, it's a little bit more broad. I think that potentially you could see some who were shut down at different parts in the season, but I do think you'll also see different parts of the state still playing. So I think that's where I think that's the biggest difference in high school football in Tennessee compared to a Power 5 conference such as the SEC.
So part of it, though, for me is the TSSAA should be more careful and have stronger protocols. I mean, I know the money's
that's
not
a different discussion,
there
for
the SEC,
for sure.
But I mean, you're overseeing more schools, and so it should be more difficult to get it done. This is, again,
right.
Why, but look, again, if it were me, but y'all know me. I have been on the don't be a doofus, take every precaution you can take, but go live your life. That is the way I've been about this, you know, through the entire thing.
Great approach.
But the unfortunate part is what the TSSAA's plans, that's being a doofus. It is. I mean, so you've incentivized people hiding positive tests and things like that. You've incentivized, you have no testing protocols in place whatsoever. And again, it's not as if it's impossible to get done. And if people are saying, well, where's the money going to come from with that? You can go to the health department and get it done. You got to wait in line, but you can go to the health department and get it done. So that's one of the things that I just look at this as, well, this is being doofuses. And frankly, anytime you let the doofuses make, or we act like doofuses, and we all do it on some things, we end up screwing something up. That's my concern about the high school football season this year, is put a test, make everybody go get a test. If they tested, they don't get to come on, they got 2 weeks, they got a set, or they got to go get a negative test and come back, and plus there's a two-week minimum. And then bring them back, and then you can go do it. But make them get a test there. Make them get a test somewhere, I don't know, the middle of September or beginning of October, and then do it again before the playoffs. It's not fun. It's inconvenient, but it's free. Have kids go do this. And then you can say, okay, let's check temperatures, and we're going to do wellness checks, and we're going to have some medical professional has to be on board. I was going to tell you, like I was told from a friend of mine that used to be here in the AD of Tennessee, that now works at another school. From what he's saying, he said, dude, local clinics will partner for free advertisement inside the stadium. You know what I mean? And for you to put this stuff on social media. They'll
right.
partner with you as far as being the people that oversee your medical protocols when it comes to COVID. So I think there's a path forward for high school football. I don't think the path forward for high school football is the current one that we have, though.
Let me just ask this question flat out, and maybe you believe that there's another way to handle it. This is strictly the way that I believe it's happening. It needs to be handled. So we found out about COVID in March, and it was, hey, quarantine, social distance, wear your mask, don't jeopardize college football in the fall, all right? Then we started seeing the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram memes. I bet I told you if college football was on the line, you'd wear your mask, ha, ha, ha. Here we are now, August the 10th. Cases are not going down in the South, all right? It's still very, very serious, and now we're on the brink of the cancellation of college football. Let's say that we reset the clock, and they say to us, or the higher power that be says, we'll attempt this in the spring, but you got to get your act together over the winter and get the cases down. Do you believe that, social distancing, whatever is in place, do you believe we'll actually see it be taken serious over the next couple of weeks and will lead us to the reward, if you will, of here you go.
Even if I guess you up our game of social distancing and all that stuff is that's when we get sick throughout the year anyway.
So should we be prepared for absolutely nothing until the spring of 2021?
You got to keep the cup on for that one. I'll say that. I mean, it's the most likely scenario. It's the most likely not nothing, because the NFL's got the money to do whatever they want to do. And they've got a plan in place that actually punishes people and things like that. So I think heck or high water, the NFL's going to play. Everything else is probably on the table, though, as far as could be changed in a moment. So that could be gone, and who knows. That's the only thing I feel like I know is that the NFL's going to play, and it's it is highly unlikely college plays. I honestly have no clue about high school because, again, I don't know. I don't know what the crap they're doing to begin with right now with the way that they've – again, there are no testing protocols in place. And so at this point, I don't know. They're in the Tyson zone. Anything you tell me that they would do with high school football, I have to believe it's at least plausible because of what they've done already.
I know we're pushed up against it, but can I just say in closing – there's a reason why this is still an issue in the United States, but it's not an issue anywhere else.
We're the only place where people poop indoors that still has this problem the way that we have this problem, right? And it's our will. We don't have the will to do it. You know what I mean? So what do you do? And frankly, I mean, it's like the reports last night. The ESPN report that came out, the second one that came out last night, when asked about the West Virginia's athletics director, just straight up told ESPN on the record, there's no plan. The plan that they have right now is cancel it, and then we ask, okay, well, what do we tell our players? We don't know yet. You've had since March to figure this out. How do you not know yet?
They just expected it would just go away.
Yes, that's it. That's it. Wishful thinking that was going to get it done. And so I mean, part of it is we don't have plans that we can get behind. And at any look, I'll say this, locally, I think they've done a good job. But other than our city and county and the surrounding counties around us, everybody else is just, peeing in the wind and hoping it doesn't blow back on them.
How many people this morning are driving to work listening to us in the car going, oh, crap, so we're really not going to have college football this year?
It ain't off the table completely, but it's hovering above. I don't know. It's right on the edge, teetering.
One foot's in the grave, dude.
Yeah.
That's Will West, Tyler Ivins. Great stuff this morning. Anything that you missed, you can check it out. Podcast is available, 991thesportsanimal.com. Star pitch cut on the other side. Set the table for Eric Gage and Brian Rice. Top of the hour. You're home for Tennessee football here on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
I'm VFL Charles Davis, and it's
47 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go on!
Hey, I know we got to get to the star bench cut. Can I say one thing before we get there, and I'll shut up about this for a second?
Only if you say one thing and you'll shut up about it.
Am I the only one that's noticed that nobody talked about canceling the college football season until players demanded that they do everything the right way? Until they demanded that you have proper COVID protocols, somebody's overseeing the athletics department staff. No one talked about canceling the football season. It wasn't on the table, nothing. And then we started seeing player demands of you're going to have to put medical people overseeing the COVID protocols. You're going to have to honor the scholarships. You're going to, if a player decides to opt out, you're going to, you know what I mean?
I guess it adds up, yeah.
But look, maybe that's not it. Maybe I'm cynical.
No. Do you think this is a power move?
Well, I don't know if it's a power move as much as it's a matter of, oh, wait, we can't actually do this the right way. Or it's not worth the money to do it the right way. Or once we try to look into doing it the right way, we look at it and say the liability's too high. As soon as the players say no liability waivers because we might have Steve Adazio in Colorado State happen. But it just – and again, it could totally be a coincidence. Maybe it is. I just can't help but notice that everything was on board. We're getting the SEC schedule last week. We're moving forward with football. It's all cool. And then players demand that you do things by using the proper medical oversight and things like that. And that's the moment that conferences decide we can't go forward with this. It's not safe.
Can I just say I don't believe in coincidences anymore?
I have a hard time believing in them myself.
on that note, Eric Kane, please, start, pitch, cut here on your Monday morning.
How do you rank them?
It's time for Mary... Whoops.
The FCC says we can't do it that way.
Let's play start, bench, or cut on the starting lineup.
Powered by Heritage Realty, locally owned and operated with over 50 years of experience in the Knoxville market, where today's technology meets traditional customer service. Heritage Realty.
All right, gentlemen, yesterday was Deion Sanders' 53rd birthday. Best DB in NFL history. Prime time, Ronnie Lott or Rod Woodson?
Oh, boy. I'm going to, well, see, I don't know if I'm going to start Deion or if I'm going to start Ronnie Lott. And I know some people would probably laugh at me hearing me say that, but it really is a question for me. Okay, I'm going to start Ronnie Lott. I'm going to bench Deion and I'm going to cut Rod Woodson. But I believe that this conversation might be one of the closest conversations we've had in start, bench, cut history. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Aren't all three of these guys on the NFL's All 100 team?
Yeah.
They are. See, that's what makes this so close. So, that being said, it goes Lott, start, Woodson, bench, and I'm cutting Deion. I can't believe I'm saying it, but I got to do it.
Yeah, you know, that's the right order. And I think for exactly the reason, like, it's everything you said. It is close, and I don't know that there's probably not a wrong answer here. Deion's the best cover corner I've ever laid eyes on. Rod Woodson was probably third. He was also a hitting machine and a tackling machine in a way that Deion wasn't. I start Roddy Lott. To me, that's the best I've ever seen. I do bench Woodson. I'm going to cut prime time, and it's the tackling. That's going to be the difference between those guys.
Which NBA player looked the weirdest in their final season jersey? Hakeem Olajuwon with the Raptors, Patrick Ewing with the Sonics, or Karl Malone with the Lakers?
Oh, this is – okay. So I'm going to start Hakeem Olajuwon because he was wearing that that purple Raptors thing, and that was
the
really awful.
The purple pinstripes.
Yes.
Coolest unis, though.
I'll bench Ewing. I'll cut Karl Malone. Maybe it was just a matter of how much publicity it got that Malone was there, and then it all fell apart and everything with Kobe's wife and all the stuff that happened with Karl Malone there. But I kind of got used to seeing him in that Laker yellow.
That's actually the right order. I'm going to be 100% honest. Last night, when doing a little digging, I completely forgot Hakeem Olajuwon was a Rocket. Or it was a Raptor.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, I would remember Pat Ewing not being a Nick. Everybody remembers the ring chasing Karl Malone to the purple and gold. But it was like, what? Yeah, that's the start. I mean, look, there's so many more that you can put in there, but it clearly focuses on high-scoring big men. That's the right order.
Best SportsCenter anchor not named Scott Van Pelt. Steve Levy, John Anderson, or Neil Everett?
Ooh. Come on, you got to put Bucci Cross in there, my boy Bucci.
I will start Neil Everett. I'll bench Sean Anderson. I'll cut Steve Levy. I like Steve Levy a lot, though.
That's the right order. I love Levy. Levy, an Islander Met fan. Got to give him a little Long Island love. What I like about Neil Everett, though, is that the guy's clearly a frat guy who's like 20 years older, and he's still got that frat guy mentality, and the guy will just flat out just walk up with boat shoes, frat shorts, and a blazer and just be like, I would shotgun a beer live on set if I could. And I'm okay with Neil Everett doing every single bit of that. And it just seems like if you watch it, it's all about chemistry. I can't, and everybody does a very good job of kind of meshing with the guy that they hold the set with for an hour and a half. Neil Everett, that guy gets along with everybody. Doesn't matter if he's doing East Coast stuff in Sanford or if he's doing West Coast stuff in L.A. with John Anderson. Neil Everett's like the Will West, not the fraternity stuff. But, Will, you could – there is not a single person in our building that can't work with Will West. Because Will West is a chameleon. He is the next part of a zipper. It's just impossible. He is a utility knife that can do everything. Neil Everett, to that example, that's the order. Everett, Anderson, Levy.
Speak for yourself. I mean, I don't like that Will guy.
I was going to say, if you knew how many interns I've run off over the years.
They sit at your desk. I mean, don't sit at his desk. Goodness.
Well, no, it was just a matter of they'd send it to me and be like, let's see if this person can last. Oh, they can't. Okay, they're gone.
Today is Gus Johnson's 52nd birthday. Best play-by-play announcer. Start, bench, cut, Johnson, Jim Nance, or Al Michaels?
Oh, stop it. You can't put Gus Johnson in the same category as those other two.
I agree.
So he's automatically the cut. The question is, do you hello friends or do you believe in miracles? And right now, Jim Nance has shown that he can do so much more. He can just call so many more sporting events than Michaels can. Michaels can as well, but we only know Michaels right now as slide on in Sunday Night Football with Chris Collinsworth. So for that factor, and that factor only, You start Nance, you bench Michaels, and you cut Gus Johnson.
I'm going to go stone cold on you guys. I'm starting out Michaels. I think that if Michaels can do anything, he's been able to do it for 40 years of my life, and I've watched that guy, whether it's Do You Believe in Miracles or it's baseball or it's the NFL. Al Michaels can do racing. Al Michaels, I've heard him do it all over the years, so I start Michaels. I bench Gus Johnson. I cut Jim Nance. Not a fan.
Ugh.
Yeah, there's tons of people fans of, but I respect the hell out of
them. Yeah.
I got a lot of respect for Nance. I'll agree with you there. I got a lot of respect, but I'm just talking about the play-by-play. I would rather hear Gus Johnson call a game than Jim Nance, and that's just on a given Sunday or a given Saturday. I'm not a big golf as a spectator sport guy, though, so there's that.
When you're going to play-by-play broadcasting school, Jim Nance is the guy you put on the projector and say, everything he does, you do, because it's the basics. It's the time and the score. It's time and score, time and score, time and score. It's getting out, getting in what you got to get in, get out, let your color take the show. But if you want a little bit more, then obviously that's, that probably wouldn't be him. So moving on.
Yeah. Jim Nance has his own clothing line from Vineyard Vines. That's all I'm going to say. Move on.
Oh, I like Jim Nance for sure. Current NFL division leader, also like Al Michaels, current NFL division leader most likely to finish the season in first place. Start bench cut, the Rockies, the Cubs, or the Marlins?
This is a really good question because it's so obvious. Yeah. But it highlights the surprises early in the baseball season. It's got a little bit of everything. You start the Cubs, you bench the Rockies, you cut the Marlins.
Yeah.
Absolutely zero chance that that patchwork team that Miami's throwing together stays atop. It happened. New York took 2 out of 3. Miami's going to start coming back down to earth because these new guys you haven't seen out of the bullpen, guess what? It's 2020, and scouting reports, they can hit you pretty darn quick.
Maybe this is just sandbagging my own team. I'm going to start the Rockies. I just think that maybe they can do it. I also don't trust that Cubs pitching. And some of that bats I don't trust to be able to stay hot even through this short run. I like the Cubs, so maybe I'm hoping the Cubs get it done, and that's why I'm sandbagging them a little bit. Start the Rockies, bench the Cubs, cut the Marlins.
Hats off to the Marlins, what they've done so far. I mean, goodness. But, yeah, I agree with you guys. It's going to come crashing down. Last one. Today is National Lazy Day. Which is the best thing to do when being lazy? Start bench cuts, social media, watch television, or nap?
Okay, so I will start taking a nap. I am pro-nap. Moving to morning drive has made me as pro-nap as you can humanly be.
Yep.
I bench watching television. I cut social media. I've actually started deleting social media apps. That's why on Sunday night you just see this Twitter storm from me. It's because I put it back on the phone to make sure that I'm caught up on things from the weekend. I delete social media from my phone on the weekends.
I actually just did something very interesting that has helped me as well. To help keep me off social media because of all the poison that's on there and trying to make my mind right, I've actually taken the apps. I've held down the little button on my iPhone so they start shaking like a little earthquake, like the little North Carolina earthquake we had over the weekend, and I moved those suckers to the last page. So it takes me too much time to swipe over 7 pages of apps, click on the Twitter, the Insta, the Face, and then, as long as they're buried in the back like Christmas decorations in the attic, I only got to get to them once a year or once a week. So I actually like that order that Will hit us with. I'm starting the napping app. I'm benching the hangout, watch a little DVR, and I'm cutting the social media.
I don't trust anybody that wouldn't take a nap if they could. And so there's your start for sure. And social media for me, I check myself saying, oh, it's been 2 hours. I better get on Twitter and go through for 20 minutes to make sure I haven't missed anything. So if I want to relax, that's not social media. So that's the obvious cut, too.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there, but sometimes you just need to disconnect. Like, it's so refreshing.
Oh, yeah. Those furlough weeks, man, I would challenge myself to go, 2 days without looking at social media. I would never last, but still.
I had a friend who actually during one of my furlough weeks texted me and said, you good? And after about 30 to 45 seconds of investigating of why he was questioning, he goes, you haven't tweeted in 2 days. And I was like, oh, well, if you think that my lifeline is based on where my timeline is or where my social media is, then that tells you a lot more about me than I thought I knew about myself. That's why I had to start removing myself. And I'm still attempting to do that even to today. Shout-outs, though, to Heritage Realty. Will West telling you, HeritageRealtyKnox.com becoming such a popular website over the last couple of
years. That's right. Heritage Realty, a boutique firm that focuses on you, the client, over the needs of the sales pipeline. They're especially incredible when it comes to property management, treating your property as if it's their own, maximizing your investment value. That is Heritage Realty.
So what is it going to look like over the next 3 days? Well, we know an answer about Tennessee football, SEC football, Power 5 conference football in the next 72 hours. If you believe some of the insiders, if you believe the writers are all on the same page, college football is almost completely kaput for the year 2020 in the fall semester. We'll set things up. Say goodbye next here on 99.1. You're listening to the starting lineup on The Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
ESPN is reporting the Power 5 commissioners held an emergency meeting Sunday afternoon to discuss college football this fall as concerns continue to mount on the possibility of the season being canceled or postponed due to the coronavirus pandemic. ESPN reports the Big Ten presidents are ready to pull the plug on the season in which other Power 5 conferences may follow. Meanwhile, many prominent college football players like Clemson's Trevor Lawrence have taken to social media to express their desire to play. The players sign each tweet with the hashtag #WeWantToPlay. Colin Morikawa shot a 6-under 64 par in round 4 of the PGA Championship to win his first major championship at 13-under on the tournament. Paul Casey, Dustin Johnson finished 2 strokes behind the leader for second place, while Bryson DeChambeau, Tony Finau all finished in a 5-way tie for third at 10-under on the weekend. Kevin Harvick took home the checkered flag at NASCAR's Racing in Michigan this weekend, leading a race high 90 laps. Denny Hamlin earned the silver, Martin Truex Jr. the bronze, Kyle Busch and Joey Logano rounded out the top 5. Some scores from the NBA bubble. Philadelphia came up short against Portland, 124-121. VFL's Tobias Harris and Josh Richardson scored 16 and 34 points, respectively, however. And on the diamond, the Braves swept a doubleheader in Philly, winning 5-2-8-0 over the Phillies. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion for education in Tennessee. It's 8:48. Going to check out the roads, the interstates, with Pete Michaels Traffic. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
He keeps his friends close, but he keeps his favorite drink koozie closer. Tyler Ivins and the starting lineup on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Hey, Tyler, quick note. Dave Matter just posted this to St. Louis Dispatch. Update on Brady Feeney, the kid from Indiana that's kind of maybe the at the forefront of a lot of this. He is not in the hospital anymore. He has been released. He is with the team. Brady Feeney was 18. For those of you who don't know, he's an 18-year-old kid that came. He was a 3-time All-State player in Missouri, played guard for Indiana, an incoming freshman this year, showed up to campus, tested negative, went through 3 weeks of workouts with the team, tested positive. It went bad in a hurry. They was clinging to life at a time, according to his mother. And now he has been released from the hospital, but they found that he has heart issues that are associated with COVID. And his blood work, they won't say what it is, but his blood work shows he could have other complications as well, and that could end up being problematic for him long term. And so that's a lot of why we're seeing the Big Ten, specifically from what I am told from people in college athletics, is very shaken by this. And it's one of the reasons why we're seeing the Big Ten say, okay, we're going to call this off.
Man, this has been a jam-packed 3-hour show, and there have been a lot of things to digest. There's a lot of things to wrap our heads around, and I think it's going to be like this for the next couple of days. But I think ultimately, Will, what it's going to come down to is in that 72-hour time frame that a lot of these reporters that are all on the same page are giving us, I think, unfortunately, this is one of those situations where we better get used to it now, so I guess the blow isn't as hard or doesn't hit us as hard coming up Wednesday when we find out that college football is going to be at least kaput for the fall of 2020.
I don't know that we get all of the conferences between now and the next 2 days, which is what the reports have said, but I think we get the majority of them. I think we get 3 of the 5 power conferences that announce between now and close of business Wednesday that they're going to shut down the college football season. And so how long did the ACC and the SEC hold out? That's going to be the question.
That's Will West, Tyler Ivins. We're back at it again tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. We're going to step aside now. Eric Gaines Show with Brian Rice. They'll take the handoff. They're going to take you the rest of the way. Heather and Josh coming up noon to 3. John and Jimmy from 3 to 7. We are your home for Tennessee football. The question is, will there be Tennessee football to talk about this fall? We'll find out soon enough. When we know, you'll know on 99.1. The Sports Animal. Enjoy your Monday.
Open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time.